जय बाबा। चैप्टर 70। लेट अस नाउ गो थ्रू बाबाज डेली रूटीन इन द लास्ट डिकेड ऑफ हिज फिजिकल लाइफ। ह्यूज क्राउड्स ऑफ डिवोटीज हैड बिगन टू डिसेंड इन शिरडी एंड व्हेनेवर बाबा लेफ्ट मस्जिद आई पीपल वुड फॉर्म टू रोज एंड लाइक अ किंग बाबा वुड वॉक बिटवीन देम। बाबा बेबी स्लेप्ट। He would have a shut-eye for an hour or two at night and would be awake long before dawn. He would always mutter some eternal chant to himself. He would keep chanting, eyes shut, seated near Dhunimai. His back against the pillar, sometimes touching the pillar, but very often his back would not even take the pillar's support to make sure that he did not doze off while praying. Baba followed the Sufi tradition, and one of the tenets of Sufism is to abstain from comfort and wealth. Thus, Baba undertook every recourse to abstain from comfort and embraced hardships of all kinds. He had embraced poverty, slept less, hardly ate, and went about life with joyous surrender to the will of Allah. Before dawn, Baba would sit near the holy fire and chant. Nobody was permitted to come close to him, sometimes not within a radius of 50 feet. He could be as loving as a mother and also as ferocious as an angry tiger. His colorful abuses and thrashing of one and all was legendary. To an outsider, Baba could have appeared to be an eccentric man who was best to be avoided. After his meditation, Baba would chant words like, Allah Malik hai, Yaad-e Haq, Allah Wali hai. Baba never brushed his teeth. He would gargle and that was that. He did not take a bath every day. He bathed once in a while, but there was a divine fragrance that came forth from his body. Baba would often say that there were various ways to have a bath. There was the sun bath, where you invited the sun to cleanse your body inside and out. Then there was the wind bath, where the wind did all the cleansing. You have the ash bath, where you applied holy ash all over the body. The most popular bath amongst the very evolved ones was the breath bath, where by manipulating the breath, you cleaned your body. The sages considered the water bath as the last resort, something that only cleaned the external body but not the internal. Baba would regularly wash his face, hands and feet in the most tender manner, and this water was used by those who were suffering from leprosy in order to cure themselves. Many got healed, or then their conditions improved dramatically by using the water that had been blessed to wash Baba's body. A number of those who were suffering with chronic illnesses would drink this water, and even those who were suffering from mental disorders recovered. Earlier, Baba would bathe in Lindi garden, but later on he began to have a bath once a week and sometimes once in a few weeks in the courtyard of Dwarka Maya itself. Abdul or some attendant would bring two copper vessels filled with boiling hot water and another two copper vessels with cold water. Baba would mix the hot and cold water and then very slowly and calmly have a bath, sometimes taking over an hour and a half to bathe. He would wear a langot, which is a native underwear, while he bathed, and then he would stand in front of Dhunimai, the holy fire, while his attendants dried his body. He would remove his underwear, but would first wrap a green cloth or towel around his waist, and then stand by the fire. Also, his kafni was put in front of the fire to be cleansed, and he would then wear the same robe. His bath water was then used or consumed by a number of those who were suffering from various physical, emotional and mental ailments. Their recovery was dependent on either their faith or, most importantly, their love and complete surrender to Baba. With or without a bath, Baba always was neat and clean, though the kafni and bandana were in various degrees of wear and tear. His kafni was made of a coarse cloth with many patches that were stitched to cover the areas where it was torn. Baba would stitch the torn parts himself. Very often the robe had stitched patches all over, but this is how the Sufis wore their robes. It was the sign of embracing poverty with pride. When the blessed kafni had to be disposed of, Baba would rarely give it to anybody, but instead would put it into the holy fire. When he wore a new kafni, Sufis and sages would gather around him. He would donate new kafnis to all those Sufis and sages who were present with him while he changed into a new kafni. Of course, to get Baba to discard his old kafni and put on a new one was a different story altogether. Time and again, his devotees would tell Baba to wear a new one or to allow them to present him with a new one, but he would smile or abuse and refuse. When his kafni got truly old and tattered, Tathya would come close to Baba, and then, as though asking Baba something, he would put his finger in one of the torn patches of the kafni and then tug at it, creating a bigger hole, and then tell Baba that this kafni was too torn to be worn, and Baba would rant, rave, abuse, exhale and smile. Left with no alternative, Baba would call for the village cloth dealer, Kashinath Shrimpri, and he would tell him, "Kashya, get me a new kafni." Kashinath would hasten and would bring Baba his new kafni, and along with Baba's new kafni, he would get more, as he was aware of Baba's habit of gifting other Sufis and sages with new kafnis. Baba paid Kashinath over and above the cost of all the kafnis. Then Baba would remove the old kafni and lovingly put it into the holy fire, all the while chanting prayers. Then he would wear the new kafni. On and off, Baba would get his head shaved completely and his mustache trimmed by Bala, who was the barber, and he would pay the chap enough for our good man Bala to retire for the day. We shall continue with Baba's schedule in the next chapter. Peace be to all. Baba, bless us with wisdom to discard what is not needed and embrace what is essential for the largest well-being of our lives. Jai Sai.